recently I was reading an article put up by a Ministry of Community and Youth Services in Singapore. Okay, and there were many. They kind of generalized a lot of reasons why Singaporeans are divorced. One of the most important thing I believe that we can get out of a study by the MCYS of Singapore, they said that out of the young people who were married but didn't have children, 55% of them thought that divorce was acceptable. Okay? I say again, those people who were married but didn't have children, out of 100% that they have, they didn't really tell how many people they surveyed, but all the, maybe they say 100, 55 of them actually said that divorce was acceptable. Okay? However, the percentage changed when there was children involved. Generally, thankfully in our society, when there was children involved, highly likely they will not have a separation because of the children. Okay? So this is just interesting. I was just trying to search through why people separate. And one of the possible reasons many times in conflict is money. Money. Okay, not enough of it. Alright, so what are people saying? I want to introduce to you this prenuptial agreement, alright? We're going to talk about family and finances. Do you know what a prenuptial agreement? How many of you know what a prenuptial agreement is? How many don't know? Right. You also never mind. You don't know what's a prenuptial agreement? Okay, never mind. Alright? I'm going to share with you, not that I want you to adopt it. It's actually happening now, alright? It's a sad thing. Then the principle of stewardship, what are the three uses of money? I talked about it many times, I just want to highlight again. What does the Bible have to say about money and how are we to manage it? And then we'll conclude. Okay. Now, top five ways that money cause problems, that money problems will cause divorce. This is what this particular article was mentioned. So I highlighted it. Number one, and they call it the financial roller coaster. Some families go through what we call a financial roller coaster. Monetarily wise, they struggle. Then finally, at some point, this is a secular article, right? It's not a Christian one, okay? So this is in general. But I think sometimes this can be used to at least help us understand the general state of things. So some families actually go through struggle, and suddenly usually the lottery, like Chinese New Year time and all that, they will actually have long queues. Why? Because they hope to strike it big, okay? And I think Singapore, I'm not trying to encourage you to go and gamble, but I think the jackpot in Singapore, I don't know, the biggest is about 5 million, I don't know. Do you know? Anyone knows the biggest jackpot in Singapore? 10 million? Okay, thankfully you all don't know lah. It shows that you all know it's not important. But in overseas, in the UK and America, their jackpot is crazy, like hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay, I was reading the newspapers, I think it was today, there was this group of, I think factory workers or construction workers, they actually pulled together money to buy lottery tickets. Okay, and one of them won and kept the money. Okay, apparently he said, no lah, the ticket, I bought for them, but it was the ticket I bought by myself, one, that's the one that got the money. Alright, but in the end, the judge said, no, you got to share your money. I think it was 7 million, US million or something that he has to share. Okay. So in a family, sometimes low, and what happens is that the family goes through the up and down, and basically in that it's evident that the family doesn't want to manage their money. Alright, that's one thing. And then there's a financially odd couple. There's a husband or a wife that's a spender, and then a husband or a wife that's a saver. And so what they try to do is this. The husband, maybe he's a saver, okay? And so he will try to say, and so he will rationalize, okay, like, I'm a saver, so my wife is a spender, so never mind. So we kind of balance out, right? Research showed that it is not true, okay? Because the saver will get bitter at the attitude of the spender. Say, here am I trying to save, and there you are, alright? Okay? So there's another problem, and so because of the attitude, they go to divorce. Another one is control. Divorce lawyers believe in this golden rule. Whoever makes the goal makes the rules. Now, what's the person who earns more will actually make the rules of the house. It can be the husband, the wife. Okay? And I have seen that before, whereby when the the husband may make more than the wife, and it thumbs the wife down, or the wife makes more than the husband, and the wife says, "What, I'm the one who's earning most of the time, what do you think?" You know? Okay? And that's why, because of that, that money becomes a big issue within the family. Yeah? The next one, values. Values has to do with what is important. So in some families, maybe the husband or the value that the family places on certain things. So, for example, some families believe we must have the best food all the time. And so every time, hawker center will not do. It must be a restaurant. And must be at least 4-star or something like that. You know, and so every breakfast, lunch, dinner, it must be a breakfast at 4-star hotel. Just bread and butter. You know, some of them, I have literally not witnessed, but I've been told there was a... I've seen couples whereby for dinner, McDonald's and all that will not do, hawker center will not do, zicha will not do, it must be a restaurant. Every time it must be a restaurant. Okay? So the values of that family, and sometimes, usually, is they cannot agree on the values, and when money becomes the issue, perhaps a buying thing, and some people, oh, it's okay, I keep buying and buying and buying, and it's not a problem, but whereas another person will say, no, we need to save more. So that values affect that. Okay? And one of the biggest things they say is gambling. Ever since the integrated resorts came into Singapore, I believe the statistics is much higher than what is normally reported. Okay? And we know even in the papers that so many people having problems, Bangladeshi workers, overseas workers, life savings gone in 2 hours. I experienced that before. My life savings of $15 and an ang pao. No, my mom is here. Many, many years ago when I was 8 years old, ang pao was very big. And so in 2 hours, my life savings was gone. Okay? And you know, some of these people actually commit suicide because they just cannot. And they work for maybe 2-3 years in order to get that money, but it was all gone because of gambling. Okay? So I've got a visitor today, so. Okay, so these are the 5 top ways that money causes problems. Okay, the financially odd couple. Any questions there? Okay, so what can we learn from there? Okay, these are some of the things in the world. For those who just came here, we're talking about family and finances. Okay. And I just like this one, whoever makes the goal makes the rules, that kind of thing. So this is generally what the world is seeing in terms of problems in the family that actually lead to separation, okay? Now we're going to talk about prenuptial agreement. The prenuptial agreement is not only not recommended, it is unscriptural, it is wrong, alright? If you even want to think about that, in marriage counseling, I would say, please reconsider your marriage, okay? Basically, a prenuptial agreement is this. Just in case we divorce, okay? You're going to get a house, I get a car, that kind of thing. Okay, so I just read. It's a written agreement between two people who are about to get married. It states the list of their assets, their liabilities, authority over each other's property, how their earnings and savings will be used, and if the marriage does not last, how will the property get divided? Okay? This is common in people who are earning huge amount of money, alright? Have lost a property, got married before, have children from earlier marriage, etc. Okay? The prenuptial agreement, I think there was a Sunday Times article done many, many months ago about this. Okay? And it's just in case it didn't work out. At least we don't fight in the end. Alright? Because we just based on the lawyer say, okay, just whip out the prenup, this is what you agree, okay? You get the there are 4 houses, so each one get 2. That kind of thing, okay? You get okay, 1 in Sengkang, 1 in Punggol, you know? And that kind of thing, kind of agree that it is unscriptural. Okay? Alright? You know, this kind of agreements actually defeats the purpose of marriage before you even start. But some people say, oh, just in case you want to reduce the pain, already the principle is wrong. That you're already preparing yourself to meet. Okay? So, you need to be very careful. The grudge only is not going to affect me. I'm only 12 years old. Okay? Give me another 15 years. Okay? And the world is going to change. Many people will, in the name of being practical, say, come on, let's just be practical. I don't think they'll have a law about that. But you need to be very careful. Okay? So, this prenuptial agreement can happen. This Okay. I want to then go on to the Bible in the area of family and finances. Okay, we'll just read the first one first. Let's read together, all right? Let's read the reference first, and then we go into the verse. Ready? One, two, begin. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay? The Bible says here, in the context of 1 Corinthians 4, Paul is saying that God has given us his Bible. Okay? Paul is saying, and so as God's apostle, I must be faithful to this. Whatever God tells Apostle Paul to preach, he must preach. Okay? Now, what has that got to do with money? I mean, a steward. What's a steward? A steward is a governor. Okay? A manager. Someone to whom things are given to, and he must actually take care of it. Go right first, because I will give you the thing next. Okay? I'll give you a few words, okay? Firstly, required. Moreover, it is required. The word required means sought for. The idea is, it is required means when you're given a responsibility, there is an expectation that you will fulfill that. Okay, that's required. Stewards has to do with governor, that a man be found faithful. The word faithful means trustworthy. Being trustworthy. Okay? Let's turn to Matthew 25. Okay, the second part, Jesus actually taught a parable about stewardship. Or more, being faithful to the work that God has given to us. Okay, Matthew 25. And verse number 14. Okay, the parable of the talents. Okay, and hopefully, I think all most of us would understand, or at least have heard of this passage before. But Matthew 25, verse 14. Okay, without going in, I'll just cut the whole, there's about 17 verses. So we'll turn there, I'll just highlight a few later. Basically, this parable is about Jesus going off and giving different people different number of talents. Okay? Look at verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Talents here does not mean your abilities. The word talents in the Bible always mean money. Okay? It's a unit of currency. Talent. Okay? Because if you look at verse 15, the next part says, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. So that means God gave the opportunity, talents, the money, according to how much ability the person has. For example, if let's say Timothy has a good talent in making money, so okay, I'll give you 20 million kind of thing. Whereas Jeremiah, something else, so okay, I'll give you 5 million or whatever. And so it's depending on the ability that God gives to us. Alright? Okay? So, then, Bible says in verse 16, he that received 5 went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. And so the idea is you have 5, you have 2, you have 1. We are expected to go and do something with it. Okay? That's the idea of management, managing it. And so after a long time, verse 19, the Bible says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth. What's the meaning of reckoneth? What's the meaning of reckoneth then? What's the meaning of reckon? I've read this passage before, right? What's the meaning of reckon? Deal with them, okay? Asking the servant to account for what you have done with the talents they have given to you, okay? So in verse number 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside them 5 talents more. Alright, so basically, the person had doubled the amount of talents or the opportunity. The talents here have to do with opportunities. Okay, Timothy may be very talented, Jeremiah may be talented, but if they have no opportunity to use it, the talent remains with them. I will give to them. But God actually gives us different talents to work with. Okay? An opportunity to serve is always a talent that God gives to us. For example, Neil plays a piano, is an opportunity she uses. There's one talent she has in piano and she uses it again and again. And you know what? It blesses others. Does that make sense? But when we have an opportunity and we don't, that's what the one with one talent did. Alright, look at verse number 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lord, that thou hast, that is thine. So basically what this guy said, God, I know that you are very hard man. So I was very afraid I may lose it. So what I did was, you gave me the talent, I'm going to hide it. In other words, when God gave an opportunity to serve, he didn't take it. Okay? He went to hide the talent. So let's look at some points that I'd like to highlight from this. I know I've talked a lot, but some points here. A few things. Number one, God requires his children to be faithful. Remember in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, it's required that the stewards be found faithful. It is God's requirement. Okay? The word faithful means trustworthy. It's very important because when we're not trustworthy with whatever God gives to us now, when God gives us money, we may not be as good with it as well. Alright? For those teenagers, perhaps you can, or younger children, you think about this now. Do you lose your things easily? Do you realize that's an indication of how faithful you are? That if you don't take care of your own things, how in the world is people going to give you bigger things? Alright? Okay? So, that's one thing. Number two, God gives us according to our abilities. Some people just cannot manage a lot, so God gave them a little bit, but if some people can manage, God gives them more. Right? God will reward us according to what he has given to us. And this is an encouragement. If God gives us an opportunity to serve in one area, then we need to be faithful in that area, and God will only hold us accountable to that area. Alright? But if through serving that area we do more, God will be pleased. Okay? And this is very telling. God says God will judge also according to what we have done or not done with what he has given to us. When we have an opportunity to serve and we take it, God actually blesses us there. Alright, you look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25 in verse number 21. Okay? After the man with five talents came to the Lord and said, Lord, I've gotten five talents more. Verse 21, the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee rule over many things. Okay? But look at what God said to the one who did not do anything. Look at verse number 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received my own usury or interest. Okay? Usury means interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that had 10 talents. When you study this, you realize one thing. God actually took this servant and basically scolded him. What is the two things he called him? Sorry?
Wicked.
Wicked and slothful. What's wicked? Huh? Oh, okay. Wicked has to do with, this is a straight line. I'm actually going out a straight line, okay? Wicked and what? Lazy, okay? Now as God says, for a Christian who doesn't use the talents that God says, you are wicked and you are lazy. Alright? And that was the condemnation that God had on this person. But you know, there's one more thing. God actually says, take the talent from him and give it to someone else. Now I've seen this happen so many times. Remember, talent is an opportunity to serve. When God gives us an opportunity to serve, it's always an opportunity for blessing. Okay? However, if the person doesn't take it, you know what God does? Okay, since you don't want to take it, I'll give it to someone else. Alright? And this is so important for us to understand. You see, any questions there? Okay, this is just the principle of stewardship. Okay? Remember, if you don't remember anything, just remember one thing. Whatever God gives to us, in terms of things we have, money we have, and also for opportunities we have, God will one day hold us accountable for those. Okay? Now, what are the uses of money? Just three uses of money. Okay? I'll just give you the verses, and I'll just put it down there. And after we go into very quickly the principles. Alright? Okay, what are the uses of money? Number one, give to God and support the ministry. That's God given. Okay, everyone of us should understand that. In 1 Corinthians 9:13, do we not know that they which minister about holy things live for the things of the temple, and they which wear the altar are partakers of it with the altar? Verse 9, verse 14, God says, even so had the Lord ordained. The word ordained means appointed. That they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. live out the gospel means, let's say a missionary goes to a different place, and gets people saved, and they're gathered as a church, and then the church and the assembly of the people ought to be supporting the missionary. That's what it means here. Okay, number one. Number two. What's the number two use? The number two use of money is to take care of your family. Okay, pay the bills, buy food, and buy the essentials. Because in 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says, if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, literally of his family, okay, he had denied the faith and is worse than a non-believer. He's actually worse than a non-believer. Okay? So the first one is to support God's work. Number two, support your own family. Okay, number three, third use, give to the poor. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. Okay? So for us, I don't think there are some people in Singapore who are still very, very, very poor. Okay? And God actually expects us as Christians, when we see a need, to actually give. Okay, the person may not be very, very poor, but if there's a need, and we can meet that need, we have to give according to God. Okay, any questions? So these are three uses. Alright? Now we're going to move on to what does the Bible say about money and how we are to manage it. Alright? I believe this is very important. If as a youth right now, you actually have these principles and follow it diligently in your life, listen, you will have no financial problems in your life. I dare to say that because that's what God says. If we would follow God's rules for money management in this life from young, in other words, if mommy gives you $3 a day and you use that $3 in the way that God wants you to use it, you will not have money problems in your life. I guarantee you. Children, are you listening? So no falling asleep, huh? Okay? Are you ready? Okay. The rest of us as adults, doesn't mean you go and sleep. Okay, say no, it's not for me. No. Sometimes we may be in certain areas in which we're okay, I'm in a fixed. How do we use the principles to get out as well? Okay? Alright, number one. Just now we read that passage. Now we have to really understand. Based on this verse, remember everything we have actually comes from God. Everything that we have actually comes from God. The Bible that you hold, the dress that you have, the shoes that you have, the EZ-Link card that you have. Is it but Brother Johnny, I bought one and I top up, then I can use. Where did the money come from? Come from my father. What? Where did your father come from? Come from the grandfather. Where did man come from in the first place? Okay? Even the chicken rice that you had just now, where did it come from? Then the uncle, there was one time, one guy who was asking a child, where do lychees come from? Where do lychees come from? Huh? Where do lychees come from? You know what the boy said? I didn't see. Because they've never seen the fruit tree, and the lychees come from NTUC. So you actually come from the fruit tree, right? Yeah. So, but all they've seen, and now no longer do they see all our food are imported from overseas, so they don't see the plantations. But you know what? Based on this, remember nothing we actually had belongs to us. How did we came into this world? Jajai, how did you come into this world? Did you, when mommy born, did you come in with sunglasses and headphones? Anyone watch Mickey Mouse watch? You came in with nothing, right? How are we living this world? How are we living this world? With nothing too. So that means everything in between, we just kind of put on just to make things a little bit more pleasant. Until the time we sleep in that box or we go out. Alright? Nothing we have actually belongs to us. It was all given by God. You know why this is a very important principle? Because when we understand the things we have don't belong to us, we won't hold to it all tightly. Many people who, this is mine, you know, especially sugar, mine, then after that, psha, broke. Then he's ready because it's broken, not mine anymore. When we understand it does not belong to us, we won't hold to it so tightly. You know what? As parents in a family, that also we have to understand that relates also to our money. Yes, we work hard for it. But ultimately, it was God, remember? give us the power to get health. It was God who kept us healthy so that we can actually walk to work or take a bus. Do you realize some people who have had injuries or stroke, they cannot actually calculate anymore. They don't even know how to take the bus anymore simply because of something that's happened inside the field. So they cannot work. There was one time me and Jojoy was supposed to meet a friend to sign something. And Jojoy was, and there was this guy who came in and said, what did she say about him? He's probably about 30 years old. Alright? And then he come. What did he say? She was an MRT. I was sitting down with Jojoy just talking to her. And then this girlfriend was sitting there and say, the ribbon's so cute. I mean, huh? What? Hello Kitty, she was 30 old man, and he was looking at the girl and said, yeah, Hello Kitty, so cute. So cute, 30 old man. And he said, so cute. Uncle, your daughter, so cute. In front of everyone. Okay, they're very loud also. Thankfully, I went inspection. Special. So, okay, this guy is not autistic or, you know. So I kind of very calm and ask him, okay, so where are you going? It was near, I think, New Year's time. Oh, I went to a church in Toa Payoh. Yeah, so cute! And then, what?
Things like?
Then I said, where do you work? I'm not working. So cute! Anyway, so she kept going, and it's interesting because he said, oh, I went to NS, but I was something, and I said, what did you do in NS? Interesting, the moment I asked him there, it's as if I kind of, because I actually was deliberate. I was asking, I wanted him to kind of tell me his history a little bit. So what do you do in NS? He said, oh, I need to go down already. He's only at UT, but he said he was going to Boon Lay. Initially, where are you going? I think to Boon Lay. But I said, when I'm asking about his NS, he said, oh, I need to go down already. And then he just went out, he's Choa Chu Kang. Can you imagine if you were like that? You cannot work. No one will employ you. Does that make sense? So, when the Bible says it is God that gives us the power to get well, do you realize for you who are studying, how many of you are in school studying now? Okay. Do you realize for you to be able to go to school, to be able to sit down, to have eyes to see, ears to hear what your teacher can say, do you realize it was God who put that there? And if we don't put in effort to study, you know what we are doing? It's the same as Matthew 25, whereby God gave us the opportunity, but we don't take it. Does it make sense? I'm thankful some of us, thankfully in our church, many of the church members in the schools, they're doing very well. So keep it up, you know. Do your best in all that you have. Because if you don't, God has given you the power to get wealth, information, or learning. But if you don't work hard, the homework is not done. We want to push you. You know, we really need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for not using what you've given to me. Because ultimately, when we do our best now, you realize next time when you grow older, you have less of a problem to actually get a job and take care of the family, etc. It's about God's will. Okay? So, remember, nothing we have actually belongs to us. Okay? Next one. If you have any questions, you can stop me. If you have any stories to tell also, please share, alright? You'll be great. The next one, number two, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. For the Christian, firstly, remember everything you have belongs to God, but number two, everything we ever need, God will provide. Amen? As a Christian, we don't actually have to worry. We know that our God will provide. So, how do we pray? We can actually ask God for what we need. You know, in family finances, one of the things as a family, there was one problem that was reading whereby when a person, maybe a husband and a wife, and let's say the wife was never in debt, but the husband was, and they got married, okay? One of the thinking that was highlighted in the research was the wife, some of the wives would tend to think, that is your debt, so that is your problem, you got to go and settle it. Whereas the correct approach should be in a marriage situation, now that we're married, it's no longer your problem, it's our problem. we need to find out ways to deal with it. Does that make sense? Okay? The person with the debt needs to realize to be in debt is actually a curse to the family. Okay? Once that realization is done, then the other party say, let's work together and let's deal with that. Alright? Okay? So as a Christian, alright, we need to understand, for us, whatever we need, God will provide for us. Okay? So that's important for us to think about. Any questions? The next one is, honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first for all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay? Practically speaking, in the olden days, it was an agricultural community. Israel was an agricultural community. In other words, they plant vegetables, they plant crops, and they have cattle. And so when the harvest comes in, they are supposed to actually give what you call the first fruits. The first fruits is this. The first ripe harvest that they take in, they won't even keep for themselves. They give it to the Lord first. Okay, that's the first fruits. When they take it and give it to the Lord, it is to tell God, God, I trust you that with the rest of my harvest, it will be fine. Okay? It's actually a sign of trust. Okay? God promises that when we honor Him first, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Now, this is an Old Testament principle, but in the New Testament, God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Okay? Old Testament principle brought into the New. Not preaching the prosperity gospel, but God says that you give, I'll bless you. Okay? So, in this area of financial and the family, when we receive a monetary gain, you know, pay us a bonus or whatever, you know what you need to do as a Christian by principle, we need to give a portion to the Lord for what God has given to us. Alright? As a thanksgiving to the Lord. Okay? Any questions? Okay, I'll just be as practical as I can. Next one. This is the blessing in Luke chapter 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Notice this part. For with the same measure that you meet, all together with all that you give out, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, God is saying this. How much you give will be how much people will give back to you. If you give people lots of love, if you give people lots of your time, if you give people to care for them, you know what? When something happens to you, you know what they will do? They will do exactly the same for you. Amen? Yeah? And that's what God wants us to learn. Alright? That has to do also with finances. However, having said that, doesn't mean that, well, God, if I give you 10,000, God, you're going to give me more than that. But sometimes, in some situations, not all the time, God does that. Not all the time, okay? But usually I've seen for God who blessed Christians with lots of money, it's because a Christian gives a lot as well, to missions, to the church, to help people. That's generally the principle, okay? But God may bless us in other ways. Does that make sense? So when we give, God promises He will give back. Alright? I'm just driving general principles here. Next one. Another principle in the Bible is this. Be careful of covetousness. Okay, what covetousness means? Wanting what other people have. In other words, to be greedy. Hey. I actually quite anything. I like the person got new bag. I like the bag. What? We'll see.
Sometimes you don't know how to pronounce.
Well, and must be, what was the other brand that there's something to do with? Huh?
LV.
Yep. What? Auntie Alice. LV, what's LV, Leonardo da Vinci. I don't
know.
Bonia, okay.
Okay.
But this one, Coach. Yes. Kids what?
Kids bit.
Okay. I didn't realize Coach was a brand. I thought it was like soccer coach or hockey coach. So when in Bangkok, then we were supposed to look for this coach. And then my sister goes, why are you looking for Coach? Yeah, I went to, okay, it's Coach brand. They said, why call it coach? Why not trainer? Anyway. But you know, when we look at the brand, Okay, there's this thing many years ago in 1981, actually, my civics, we're learning civics, kind of like moral education. And so a teacher was talking about Hong Kong syndrome. Hong Kong syndrome. What Hong Kong syndrome means, last time pen was, now how much is the cheapest pen now? Last time was red leaf. You see a red leaf today? Yeah. How much is red leaf? $1? Whatever. Last time, I still remember Kilometrico was very famous. And it's very expensive, 45 cents.
Last time, Kilometrico was very expensive.
So my teacher was saying, the Hong Kong syndrome is this. A normal pen will not do. If it's less than $10, I will not use it. It has to be branded, it has to be expensive, then I will use it. That's called the Hong Kong syndrome. That was in 1981. I still remember the lesson. Okay? So, there are some people who just go for branded stuff, nothing else. Okay? The Bible actually teaches us we need to be careful, because as Christians, as we grow up, there can be a tendency to, it may be unconscious, it may be taught by someone, it may be their habit of someone who is older who always go for this particular brand. Okay? There's some of the things that. But we need to be careful that we don't actually what we call imbibe the habits of another person, because the Bible says this. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Okay, Luke chapter 12. This is a very important passage in the whole area of covetousness and spiritual relationships. Okay, Luke chapter 12. Okay, for those who just came in, we're going through some principles of money, and just general principles of how we have to relate with money. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. Let me read that, alright? As you listen. Luke 12, 13, the Bible says, "And one of the companies said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Now, what's the problem here? Is this brother asking a legitimate question of the Lord Jesus? Lord, please speak to my brother and so that he will divide the inheritance with me. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Sorry? The inheritance does not belong to him. It only belongs to the elder brother. And so what's happening to the younger brother? He said, "Hey, Lord, I think he got so much he should share with me." And that was what Jesus was telling him next in verse number 15. He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." The reason why the younger person wanted the brother to give him, because he didn't have any part of the inheritance and he wanted it. That was covetousness. Does that make sense? And Jesus was telling this person a general principle: be careful of covetousness. Okay, why? Because a man's life does not consist. Your life is not made up of your things. Do you realize that? You know, for example, if you take away everything that Uncle Roland has, he's still Uncle Roland. That doesn't change. It's just that he doesn't have anything else. You take me and you take out everything I have, I'm still Rajani. And the Lord Jesus is not going to say, "Okay, he's only $1, his value is $1. No. But you know what? Unfortunately, in our Singaporean context and many societies, many people are seen for their economic value. What can you contribute? It is a sin, I believe, with all my heart, James chapter 2, verse 1, that we will look at people based on their economic value. Because that is not how Jesus looks at us. Does that make sense? Okay? Because today, how much you can provide, how much you can give, sometimes even in churches, the people who can give more are generally so-called the elite. Or they're looked upon as bigger contributors. And for those who cannot contribute as much, perhaps they try their best but don't contribute as much, are being looked down for. It is a sin against the gospel of Christ. Because Jesus said, our brother James said in James 2 verse 1, don't possess the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. You cannot be prejudiced against someone because of their economic status, how much they can give. Because that is inconsistent with the gospel. Because Jesus, what? Accepts everyone. Amen? He accepts everyone. And so whether you're rich or poor, he still accepts us. Okay? But Jesus here says we must be very careful of covetousness. And I always tell my children this. I like that. I say we don't need that. How many of you have things that you bought that you don't use? Put up your hand. Don't be shy. A lot of us, sometimes we do. Okay? And then sometimes it's nice, and maybe it could be for various reasons why you don't use it, alright? Maybe you bought already, it's broken, then you don't bother to go back. Kind of thing, but generally we go. You know, sometimes when we buy things, we need to be careful. The principle that we use all the time is, do we need it? Is it a need or is it a want? Is it a good to have or is it a need to have? Okay, if it's a need to have, then we go for it. No matter how much it is, if it's good to have, okay. If it's a want to have, what do you do? After you fulfill your need to have and good to have, you go down to the want to have. Alright? Okay? You need to be very careful. By the way, covetousness. What is covetousness in the Bible? What is covetousness? In the sight of God?
Other people's things you want.
Okay. Covetousness is actually sin. Did you know that? When we say, how I wish I can live in a condo, that is sin. Did you know that? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Okay? Right, Johnny, you're just tired. No, let's look at, we need to be careful. Okay, we're talking about finances and family, so we're just hitting general principles, right? Colossians 3 verse 5. Let me just read. Okay, why don't we read together, okay? Colossians 3 verse 5, ready? 1, 2, begin. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, the Bible says, mortify. The word mortify means put to death. Your members upon the earth, number one, fornication, that's immorality before marriage. Uncleanness, it has the same idea. Inordinate affection, in other words, you love things which are not supposed to love. Okay, evil concupiscence has the idea of, chambering, kind of just living together and things like that. And basically, the whole area of immorality. Okay, and then covetousness. God lumps covetousness together with the immoral things of this world. And God calls it what? Idolatry. Where do you find the first commandment about covetousness in the Bible? In the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. The last commandment in the Bible. Do you know that's very important? Because, can you actually see covetousness? Can you see covetousness? Do you know that thou shalt not covet is the only commandment in the Ten Commandments that deals with the heart? Think about that. You know, in the room why we have to be very careful, because in Singapore we are very what? Materialistic. We are very materialistic society. My mom was just telling me, there was this big long line for what, iPad what? Two. Huh? The new iPad, not iPad 3, it's called the new iPad. I'm going to change the name. Okay? And it was sold out. It was sold out. Nothing wrong with having an iPad. Nothing wrong, really. And for some, they were really trying to organize themselves. But you know what? Some people actually have, but I was told, I was a very good one, okay? I was told that young people change their handphones every 3 to 4 months. Do they still do that? Maybe not in our church. I don't. The rich kids are probably, they change their handphone, new one come out, or I don't like this something, Samsung, sorry. And they choose another one, and they change gadgets, why? They change handphones and they change clothes, that kind of thing. You know, we need to be very careful, because in our materialistic society of Singapore, when the young people grow up, there's a little cycle that they go into. Parents may have to work very hard to make ends meet. They're not around, so they'll give money to the children, and the children go and buy things. And then when they see other people have certain things, they want to ask mom for money, or they save money to. And I've also heard of people who wanted to buy things, branded goods. They actually work, or they get involved in certain things, like maybe drug trafficking or something, just to get money to satisfy what they want. You know, young people, you are a very big catchment, okay? Whereby you can be so easily sucked in. You need to be very careful. Beware of covetousness. Many times, ask yourself, do I really need this? If I don't have it, will I die? That's a question you ask. Okay? If I don't have it, will I die? If you won't die, then don't. If daddy says no, then it's okay, I won't die. Okay, it's a good principle. I'm not saying therefore about everything with very small, but you know what? If a parents can give us, like on birthdays, I do give my children things that they like. Yes, I don't think there's anything wrong. But you know, when you yearn for it and you're willing to do anything for it, and even do wrong things for it, in the Chinese message which I preached last week about when we came to sin was because of our lust. The word Chinese word for lust has to do with I want it so much that I'm willing to do wrong for it. In the Chinese dictionary, the lust means I want something so badly I'm willing to do something wrong to get it. That is wrong. Okay, we need to be very careful. Alright, oh, yes.
When does it become a sin? So does that mean that every time we desire something, like, wow, the curtains are so nice, I check the curtains, does that automatically make it a sin?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Listen to James chapter 1. We had this question before. When does it become a sin? Let's put it this way. I think we all of us don't have everything. And sometimes when we see something, we say, oh, I really like that. I don't think it's a sin at that point. It becomes a sin. James chapter 1. Thanks for the question. James chapter 1, verse number 14. The Bible says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." The word enticed, interesting, I use a Chinese. In the Chinese means something conceives in the womb. Why tie? Something conceives in the womb. That means the thought comes, okay, I like this curtain, I wish I could have one. And then you kind of move away and know nothing about it. I don't believe that's sin. But then I say, I like this curtain, wish I could have it. Start thinking and planning and studying. Does it make sense?
Well, what if you work through all these means to achieve that?
Well, if you work and you provide for yourself, you're going through God ordained means. So it's pretty wrong. Okay? Is when you, I want this curtain, cost $1,000. Okay, about $3, I will play the toto.
That's it.
Okay. The Bible did say this now, Ephesians 4:28, if you work with your hands to provide, and if you really need something or want something, you work for it, I don't think it's wrong. But it's God appointed means, and you are gaining it through honest means. Okay? When does it actually become sin? Is when you work night and day, you don't care about God, you don't care about anyone, I just want to make so much money just to get this. We need to be careful. So there's still that. But thank God, doesn't. When you work through honestly to get what you want, I don't believe it's wrong. That's God actually appointed that. All right. But be careful of covetousness. Be careful of covetousness. Okay. Okay. Let's move on. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all evil. I think we all know, right? It's not money. Money. We all need money. Just now, you need me, right? Your youth came, you need to pay $5 or so for money. So money is not sin. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Which somewhat coveted after, they have pierced from the they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Many people because of money hurt themselves badly. I was talking to this uncle downstairs, I think I shared before. He says he lives in a family of loan sharks and gamblers in the 1970s, a lot of secret societies. He was brought up in that kind of family to the point that he was so sick as a 14-year-old, because every day he see, when the moment he wake up, his mom and dad will start the gambling there, and every day he see either someone get chopped up, someone got hurt, someone's hair got cut off, gambling. He was so sick of that kind of family, he actually left that family. He just walked out as a young person. He ran to Malaysia. Okay? And he didn't want contact with any of his family. He really wanted a break for their family. God, it was so sickening. Every time, he has seen people go to jail like Carlos so many times because of illegal loan and sharking and things like that. And in the 1970s, it was even worse. Okay? Unlike now, maybe climbing now. But no, in 1970s, it's very bad. Okay? So, a lot of the people, and then sometimes you speak to these people, why do you do that? Is it? No choice, I'll make money, that kind of thing. Own this person money, cannot make it, so I'll go into that. You can pierce yourself with many sorrows. Alright, so you need to be careful. So young people, after the touch on it. Okay, next one. Next result we need to have is give more than you receive. Okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 31, I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more what? Blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you realize it's okay that you don't receive? But you know what? God wants us to give. And that's why I think one of the things I shared with the church, I think a few weeks back, my vision for Ambassador Baptist Church to be a giving church. But then we'll be like the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying, if you like to sell your house and give, that's your prerogative, okay? But you know what? At least what we have. And one thing I want to encourage us, God doesn't demand of us what we don't have. He does not demand from us what we don't have. He said, whatever he gives us, he says, how much are you willing to give back? Okay? So, we need to learn from the example of Christ, because he said the Lord Jesus is more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus gave what? How much did Jesus give? He gave his life. He gave what? He gave everything. He gave his all. He even laid down. He even gave his fellowship with God the Father, which is a mysterious truth that we will never understand. How can God separate from God? Him being omnipresent, how can God separate from God? Think about that. How can the Lord Jesus Christ separate from God? But you know what? He had to do that for us. He gave everything. You know what? God also wants us to learn from his example. Okay, the next one. Remember this. Those of you who, or not those of you, the people who like to lend money, just remember this principle. The borrower is always slave to the lender. Okay, the Bible says the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Okay, do you understand this? If I borrow money from you, I will always owe you something, unless I pay you back. Unless I pay you back. Okay. So for the younger people and for all of us, learn to live within your means. That means don't have, don't spend. You don't have, don't spend. Or you wait, or like what Brother Sun said, work, okay, or save up so that you can have. Don't have, don't spend, sorry. Okay? Because what's going to happen is the more you lend, you know, besides the housing loans we have no choice about that, really. I don't think all of us are millionaires, we can just buy the house like that. But you know what? We should, as fast as possible, get rid of the housing loan as much as we can. Okay? So that we don't. We are basically a slave. Some people have said in Singapore, you work till the day you die. No? Okay, next one. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, next one, be contented with what we have. Okay, I think this is for the last few slides already. Be contented with what we have. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. There it is again. And be content with such things as ye have. Be happy with the things you have. Because Jesus has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I put this question here to ask this. Let me ask you a question. Are you genuinely, are we as Christians genuinely happy or contented with the things we have now? Or do we yearn for more things? It includes what we have, it includes how we look, it includes what we need and want, would like to. Yeah. Are we happy that we are like that, like the way we are, our hair is like that, etc. My hair, it's not much length, but you know, am I happy with the way I'm living? Or am I yearning for something else? Because God says, Jesus, Paul actually teaches, let your conversation, your conversation means behavior, be without covetousness. The word without means absolute zero. There will be no hint of even covetousness inside your life. Okay? For the simple reason, Jesus says, in your need, I'm not going to leave you. That Jesus will take care of us. Okay? Now, what do you want? When I ask a question, it simply means, okay, I think there's something, there's another question that's side, right? What is contentment? What is contentment? Okay? Well, that's not said, Jimmy, not supposed to answer this. What is contentment? What does contentment mean? On your side? Sorry? Satisfaction with your current state, okay? Anyone else? Contentment?
Having enough within your means.
Sorry?
Having enough within your means.
Okay, dealing within our means. Okay, what about this side? What's contentment? Look at this. You're thinking. What's contentment?
Happy
with what you have. Okay, what else? Anyone else? Yeah, why you remember this definition of contentment? Contentment is knowing that your resources in Christ is more than sufficient to meet your every need. It's not just happy with what you have. Bible contentment is, I know both here and here that my Christ is able to supply all my needs. And I'm contented. That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned to suffer need. I've learned to be abased. I've learned contentment. In whatsoever state I am, I need to be content. I may not have much, but I know my Christ will supply all the needs that I need. When I don't have means, He knows that I don't need it at that time. Does that make sense? If I don't need it, if I don't have it, it means that Christ feels that at that time I don't need it. And if I don't have it, I don't have it. Does that make sense? Contentment is a very important thing to Christians. It's not just being happy with what you have. It's actually when we are in need. It's very easy to be happy when we have everything. How many of you have taken a dinner today? Most of us, how many have not taken dinner? After you take, right?
Okay, probably.
Okay. But how many of you have at least something that you can go back to, you know, a house to stay in, you know? Have you had? There was one of my friends was asking, there were two persons there, one girl and one guy. So the lady was complaining. One of the guys was very wild. I mean, we were probably about 16, 17 at the time. And the guy understood because he didn't come from a very rich home. So the lady was complaining, okay, about why don't I give her? And then the guy actually just very calmly said, so-and-so, we have a fridge at home. I said, yes. Do you have a house to stay? I said, yes. Have you eaten? I said, yes. Then you're not poor. If you have a fridge at home, you're not poor. And then the lady just keep quiet. Isn't that true? Most of us actually have our basic necessities of life. In fact, we have more. How many of you have extra food stocked up in your fridge? We don't have to worry about this. You know, genuine contentment can be tested when you actually don't have anything and you are still happy. I'm not talking about gila happy. I don't have, never mind. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about, yes, I may not have, but I know my Christ will provide for me. Does that make sense? That is genuine contentment. Okay, it's something that we all need to learn. Alright, next one. I think this is the last one already. Make financial decisions with God as a family. The Bible says here, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. James is actually trying to, there was a thinking at that time, a thinking called presumption, that I'm just going to make a decision and I'm just going to go there and I'm just going to make a profit, you know. You know what James says? Whereas he know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James is trying to say, look, don't presume. Your plans may not come to pass. Just because you plan this and you don't consult God, especially with financial decisions, especially as a family, with financial decisions and just any decisions within the family that we make, when we don't consult God and God is not put in the equation, you know what? We're open to disaster. You know why? Because if God's not in the process, we are always headed for disaster. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So what did James advise? For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Nothing wrong with trying to make decisions, but you know what? God must always be in the decision. If it's going to be a big change, or this guy is going to shift to another city, go to now, he that said, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. You're going to make a big decision to make profit in that city. The principle is this. When we make decisions, especially financial decisions, we need to ask God. Because you know why? As a family, when you make decision, it affects the entire family. God must be in the equation. Okay? So you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. Okay? Make financial decisions with God. But generally, how do you make your life decisions? Is God in the equation? Do you consult? Do you talk to people? Or is it, I just feel that I want to do this, I just go and do it. And you know what? If you, a really honest person will hear not only from people who support what you're doing, but also from people who do not support what you're doing, but you know they'll be honest with you. Does that make sense? So you actually get the proper perspective, especially if those people care for you, okay? So the question is, how do you make your life decisions? And the reason why that's important is because many families go into financial problems because simply they don't consult God. They're not happy with what they have. They want to move on. They want to do certain things rather than just say, God, I'll just do what you have for me in terms of what I have now and also to live for you. Okay? Where I am. Okay? Any questions up to there? I think this is the last one. Okay. Let's do this together. I think it's very important for us to have in the whole area of family and finances. I didn't really go into a lot of what you do in this situation, what about investments, what about all that. I just want to give you general principles. I believe you just hit those general principles, and many of the problems will be solved. Okay, let's read this and then we'll go. All right, ready? 1, 2, go. Matthew 6:33.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
This is a promise. This is a promise. This is a promise from the Creator of heaven and earth. If you put God first, seek God first, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Now is everything that's, I think I preached this before, everything that's related to God, everything that's related to His world, when we seek that first, and His righteousness, things that are done in His way, God says, I promise you, all the things that you ever need will be provided.
Will be provided.
Any questions? Yes, of course. So you don't have a word of prayer, right? You have a word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the attention of the people. Father, I just pray that you help all of us to seek first the kingdom of God. That God, our heart and our mind will be on the things of heaven, things of your word and your work. And God, we will not allow the covetousness of this world to rub off on us. As we see the things around us, as we see the advertisements, that God, we will always remember one thing. You will always take care of us, and Lord, as long as we have enough to eat, and long as we have enough to wear, and Lord, our basic necessities are met, and Father, you're providing for us, we don't have to worry. And God, we pray that you will give us, Lord, a contented heart. A heart that knows that, Lord, you will always provide for us. Because just as a dad and a mom will work very hard to take care of their children, Lord, in the same way, you work very hard to take care of us too. Father, we pray, Lord, for everyone here, especially for those maybe who may be listening to this message. Lord, I pray if there's certain things in their lives financially that things are not being able to be met, I ask, Lord, if they're Christians, that they will seek your face. And that God, they will start putting these principles in their lives first. And that God, to see you blessing them. Because your word will never return unto you void. So Lord, at this time, I ask you to bless every family. And Father, I pray that every family would put you first, Lord, in their decision making. Put you first in their financial planning. Put you first, Lord, in also to bring up children. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.